Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. We are going to revisit the section we left off on last week because there's so much in there. It's so applicable to what we're trying to do. So we won't want to pass this up. So essentially, what we're talking about is in your spiritual path, you at some point become aware of two selves. Even though you're studying and your mind is all about unity and oneness, you discover for you, because you are going from two to one, you discover two selves. Obviously, you've got the body, material self, who's all wrapped up in the world and all the things that are here. And then there is this other self you become aware of that seems to be eternal and calm, that seems to always call for love and always wonder, is there a better way to do things? This is the one that can actually love. So there's these two selves. Hang on a second. Let me fix that. Like that. Okay, good. Okay, very good. It's inevitable, of course, that there's going to be a waffling back and forth between the self that you're very familiar with all your life and that you want to defend and protect and get self-respect and get it paid and get it loved and get it fed and get it watered. This body thing is not something to be ignored because it's quite where you are, but it's not what you are. And in fact, while the term where has any meaning at all, you can be assured that you're going to have to navigate two selves. This one material one, and then more and more and increasingly more as we do our Course in Miracles work, this other self, this bigger self, this permanent self, this gentle self, this self that has always been honest. You know, this part of you that always tells the truth because nobody else seems to be listening. You know, it's just your private you. But it would like you always to do the most loving thing. And the other self, the material self, the ego self, may be too afraid to do the loving thing and jump in and come up with some scheme, some manipulation of the world that it thinks will make you happy. But nonetheless, it was always that other choice. So it is these two selves that we're going to be looking at tonight. It's good to be aware, of course, and not to be in denial that you're still living with these two selves. I think it's probably the case for somebody who's an addict that you can't deny, and anybody who is a big 12-stepper, if you want to jump in, I invite you to, because I've been to some of these meetings, and I so respect the mind training that does. I like to bring it up every once in a while, because I think this is ego addiction. But if you're addicted to a drug, I think it's probably the requirement that you understand that the drug is more powerful than you thought. And that you're not really, you know, you who takes the drug is not actually in control if you're a true addict. If you're a dabbler, you forget to take the drug. Like me, I drink, but I forget to drink for weeks at a time. You know, oh yeah, I forgot to try that new whatever. I don't have the bug. But I do for ego. My ego shows up before I could wish it there. It seems to already be there. It's less and less now for me with the Course in Miracles. And peace is the norm for me. Peace is my average and it's my default in all situations. And I'm really happy to report that. But I'll tell you, there is a choice and there was a choice and there still is a choice for me today when my ego crops up and has an opinion, a divisive opinion about something, if I just go still for a moment, just go still for a moment, stop listening to the ego, another voice pops up just as fast. And it has an inclusive opinion, some kind of a joining or understanding opinion, rather than the protect me or defend me or attack them opinion the ego have. It's always there. All I have to do is go quiet and be expecting to be helped to see it a different way. That's the Holy Spirit. So that's my other self. Even in this world of time, space, bodies, sickness, death, divorce, marriage, new babies, old cars that won't start, or like mine that's in the shop right now, even in this world, there is another voice and another choice on all things. All things. Even in this dream state, there's always another way to look at things. We're going to look at that tonight and how important it is on our spiritual journey to recognize two selves. And that there's a choice to be made. And of course, you would want the one that's peaceful and joyful. So let's take a minute and just sort of bring ourselves into the meeting, and we'll just have a few moments of silence. And then, you know, you can think of anything you like, but I would like you to think about these two selves. See if you can get in touch with two selves in you. Have you had this experience of two selves? Do you remember what it's like to be pulled into anger? Pulled into anger by one of yourselves. The situation isn't going right. And it's boiling up in you. The anger. As you get pulled into anger, and it becomes the only choice is to say something nasty or do something to fix it. As you get pulled into anger by one of yourselves, you know that experience. Or was it that you were pulled into fear because you were afraid of what could happen or was happening, and you felt yourself increasingly getting weaker as you were pulled into fear by one of yourselves? Or were you getting pulled into hatred? It's a different pull, isn't it? Hatred. It seems to have this reason, justification. Did you get pulled into that by one of yourselves? Look in your mind, in your memory, and respect, by that I mean remember, being pulled into the darkness as your thoughts began to swirl around and down, and you went down the drain. Oh. Remember how that happens. The circumstance just was what it was. But somehow your mind got in there and you chased it right into the darkness. And now, can you remember the other side of the coin? Can you think of a time when your mind chose to take it easy, or not to fight, or how can I help, or they don't really mean that. It's a shame they feel so bad. How can I help? Or, I know what to do. I know what to do. I can show some trust. That's what I'll do. I'll be the one who steps ahead. I'll be the one who brings some trust into this difficult situation. And I will offer the peace first. Can you remember your other self inviting you to choose the higher ground? Can you remember a time when your higher self said, "Don't worry. Don't worry, we got this." And you didn't. You chose not to worry. And how easy your breaths became. How clear your mind became as it went to rest. Because your other self said, "Don't worry. Okay." Remember? Now, if you've come this far, I want to ask you, honestly now, going forward for the rest of your life, however many days or months or years or decades you have to live through entertaining with this body, which of these selves would you like driving in decision making? Really. Choose. Really. Right now. Choose. I promise you, this is not an idle exercise. Choose now which of these two selves you would call upon for counsel going forward from here. And when you're ready, please open your eyes. All right. Let's dig in to page 471 in the text. Luann, when you're ready, would you start reading for us? Paragraph 1. Does everybody have a book, or does anybody going digital, or Jason, you want me to read off the sections for you? Do you have an old version again? Okay. So chapter 22, section 2, called Your Brother's Sinlessness. Chapter 22, section 2.
Is this the first paragraph?
Yes, please.
The opposite of illusions is not disillusionment, but truth. Only to the ego, to which truth is meaningless, do they appear to be the only alternatives and different from each other. In truth, they are the same. Both bring the same amount of misery, though each one seems to be the way to lose the misery the other brings. Every illusion carries pain and suffering in the dark folds of the heavy garments in which it hides its nothingness. Yet by these dark and heavy garments are those who seek illusions covered and hidden from the joy of truth.
So like we talked about last week, we made a distinction between an illusion and a disillusion, or a problem, and the specific fix for that problem. They're both still illusions. They're both based on the problem, and it's not the truth. Okay, so when we talk about the truth here, or your true identity, it's going to be way different than what you thought you were. It's not going to be a modification of a body. It's not going to be a better human being. Important to note, it's radical stuff. Okay, Kenny, you want to read tonight?
Yes.
All right, bring forth paragraph 2, please.
Truth is the opposite of illusions because it offers joy. What else but joy could be the opposite of misery? To leave one kind of misery and to seek another is hardly an escape. To change illusions is to make no change. To search for joy in misery is senseless. For how could joy be found in misery? All that is possible in the dark world of misery is to select some aspects out of it, see them as different, and define the difference as joy. Okay. Yet to perceive a difference where none exists will surely fail to make a difference.
Okay, so this is actually a very kind paragraph here. And what it's talking about is the hopeless efforts of the ego to try to make your life a better life. For example, if you go through a divorce, you've been married for a whole bunch of years, and then you've got a divorce, and you have to reconcile this massive change in your life, your identity, your position, your title, all sorts of things happen. Or maybe you lost a job. These big changes in life happen all the time. The ego is going to tell you, maybe you lost all your money in the stock market. The ego is going to frame a story to either attack you or defend your decision, but somehow make you feel better. It might be a horrible story, but even if it's just a term, it's going to be something like, well, now I'm divorced. And that's the truth. Do you see how it focuses on the problem? It feels like you're moving on, because you're accepting that you're divorced, that you lost the money, that somebody or something died, and that by realizing your loss, you make it better. That's perfectly understandable. It's really common in the world. Because of its intent, you eventually will awaken from the problem, easing the pain. But it's not Course in Miracles. And that's this very kind, gentle paragraph that basically said, don't fool yourself. Focusing on the problem just makes the problem more real.
It's kicking it down the road.
Yes.
Kicking it down the road.
And it'll be dealt with just a little later. It'll be dealt with a little later, and some of the details will be fuzzy. And maybe it's going to be a harder problem to deal with later when you forget some of the details. Yeah. Not Course in Miracles. So, the illusion versus disillusion versus the truth, right? So, it's telling us that the illusion or the story about the illusion or how it was unfair to you, that this happened, it never should have happened, whatever story the ego comes up with is still a painful description of your life, and it's not true. It will never satisfy.
Okay, I have a little problem.
Sure.
It took me a year after my divorce for it to feel like it was gone. But when it was gone, when it was over and I had gotten over the worst of it, I thought and still believe that the Holy Spirit told me, go away from that problem. It's not a problem anymore at all, and become a therapist. And it felt like, yay, that's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And I've loved it ever since. And I'm glad I was divorced. I mean, it was one of the benefits my husband gave me.
Sounds good. What's the problem?
Well, I don't have a problem.
All right. Keep it that way.
I guess what I'm saying is sometimes what seems like a problem when it first happens, for me it felt more like, oh, good, now I can go my own way and do my own thing the way I want to do it.
Yeah. Well, certainly there are things in life that happen, and instantly you recognize the freedom.
Yes, that's what
That's not a problem. That's clarity. It's the other things in your life that I'm talking about that you hang on to and keep rehearsing in your head. These are the things that hold you in a body. The times when you feel free and you play here, these are not the things that will hold you here against your will. This means you can play and you won't be subject to the pain and suffering that the ego, the small thinking, would have you endure. There is a lot of fun to have here.
And I certainly have a lot of those that I'm still working on. Yeah, thank you.
There's a lot of fun to have here in this dream and in your mind. And there's no reason you can't do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Male, female, young, old, animal, whatever you want. There's no limit. The Course doesn't care. The only thing we care about is that you've gone a little too far in this particular adventure, in this generation of your separated adventure. You chose to throw your identity into it. So whatever happens here seems really potent and really personal.
Hey, you know, Andrew. Go ahead, Jason.
You know, this week I was listening to a gentleman about metacognition and epigenetics and how we create so much memory in our body with our feelings. And A Course in Miracles addresses that head on. It's just amazing.
Is that amazing?
Well, it's the same kind of philosophy and belief, but it comes to the body issue. And that's what we're in. That's what we're dealing with in A Course in Miracles. And this is how we create so many of our problems from many years ago. And doesn't the Course talk about we're living in the past, we're living in the past, we're living in the past? And so learning about metacognition and epigenetics, you can retrain your mind and your body for something new. But it's not kicking the can down the road. It's really dealing with it, right? Or is it not?
Getting into the present moment and changing your mind absolutely changes your life, period.
It's on the right track.
Yeah. Okay. Anything that has you take responsibility for what you're thinking and feeling, that's your path to freedom. That's why I like this AA program. I have some family and friends who go there, and I'll go to some of these meetings, and that's what they're talking about. They're talking about taking personal responsibility for their drug or whatever they're going through. And I'm thinking, well, you guys need to go to Course in Miracles next.
Andrew, can I say something?
Yeah.
So, it was really clear to me the concept of the two selves when we were meditating, and I had a really strong example of that today. So I'm part of a company. I'm one of like seven owners. I have a small ownership in this company. And anyway, we had like a little meeting that I initiated with the employees to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement, and it was led by two Black women who are employees, and it was just amazing and really uplifting and positive, and I felt so good about it. And then afterwards, I was just like on this kind of like high, and I sent an email to all of the owners, other owners, and I said, you know, I want to let you know we had this meeting and it went so great, and I think we should take the next step and, you know, donate to a cause and put some sort of message of support on the website. So anyway, I felt so excited about it and positive and very much like in my higher self. And then like nobody responded and still has not responded to the email. And so my ego came in and said, oh my God, they must think, you know, X, Y, and Z, that this was, you know, this is a business and it's too much to ask, or, you know, I don't know what, I just don't know, right? But I can feel like when you said dragging you into the darkness. When I get into that ego mind, I feel dragged down into fear and into the world and what the world thinks and the practicality of that. And then when I'm in the other thing, I just feel like this is so right. This is how to flow. This is where to stand. This is what to do. And I don't need to be afraid because I have the backing of this powerful energetic movement that's happening right now across the world. And I have the backing of so many other businesses and people that have stepped up to do this. And it's all okay. And as it should be, and it'll be fine. And then the other side, self, wants to pull me down into fear. So I was very aware of these two parallel selves.
Good example.
And the trick for me is just not to listen. When the other one comes up, I'm just like, I don't want to hear it. Tell it to the hand, you know?
Yes. Yes, that's right, Cecily. It's a matter of following the light and keeping your eyes on it and keep following it. And do not look for other people's permission for you to follow the light.
Yeah.
Your ego will constantly look to destroy freedom because that's what you made it to do. It's just doing its job. The ego, in its way, the ego's innocent. Like fire, when a fire burns a house down, you think, oh, that darn fire! But the fire is just doing what it does. So when you invite your ego to comment on what happened after you made a call for donations and nobody else answered, the ego's going to burn your loving house down. It did. It's like a fire. Follow the light. Follow the light.
Yeah.
Stay light. That's why I like the word enlightenment. Decisions that you make toward the light, stay with them. To help anybody else.
And I just started lesson 201, and I'm doing that most repeated phrase, I am not a body, I am free, I'm still as God created me. And I can't find it right now, but I said that 500 times or whatever the last time I went through the lessons, and I'm preparing to do it again. And it never really resonated with me. I just did it anyway, like they say. Just do it anyway, you know? And yeah. But the one thing that kind of resonated this time, and I can't find the wording right now, but it was something that, like, I have a purpose that's beyond this world or beyond the body or whatever. And that was a helpful understanding of this, of that phrase for me, and also of this situation, that like this is something bigger, and that's a different, it's a whole different like level, right?
Yes. And the you, the part of your mind that wanted to actually get involved and do some healing around the Black Lives Matter thing, it wasn't that you would actually be successful doing that. That's not the big news. The big important thing is that you rose up. You went up toward the light instead of down toward the dark. Personally, there is something beyond your body. And if A Course in Miracles is to be believed, your body doesn't matter. Nothing in the level of form matters or can be kept. Even Jesus' body is far gone. There's just no evidence of it anywhere. Mary, gone. We love these people. Gone. The whole world, will, as the book says, will spin back into the dust from which it came. However, there is this second self that chooses light, that chooses love, that chooses joining, chooses understanding, chooses compassion, tolerance. That's here too, isn't it? And you have a great example how it's kind of edging its way in to your heavily worried about situation. It's edging its way in to lighten up and, in fact, heal part of your mind. It may also help to heal the world, but that is not the point. And if you
Can
had
I your, something?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
Today I went to the creek, and, you know, I closed my eyes and I was meditating, and, you know, those two selves were really clear to me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And what I noticed was judgment. You know, that self of me that is constantly judging and judging and judging. And if I could quiet that down, because that was the essence of my ego, was to make judgments about everything and anything I thought. And if I could just quiet that and come back to, you know, the oneness, that peaceful self, just to be able to be grounded in that self, and then whatever I do doesn't really, it's not as important as the fact that I'm grounding in that self that is accepting. I'm not judging, and what happens is not as important as where I'm at that moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of allowing your mind to be open-minded to looking at things truly, or mm-hmm. closed-minded with judgment. If you follow the judgment, it's going to eventually lead you to some kind of action, either internally or externally, that's driven by the ego. Because you're dividing and dividing with your judgment, trying to decide the good and the bad, and it's closing and closing your mind around a conclusion. But to go the opposite way, with open-mindedness, it means you might actually have to step back and do some understanding and some allowing of tolerance and honesty about what you're really thinking, like letting the judgment go. And then all of a sudden, you know, things feel bigger and looser, and it's much more easy for you to understand what's really happening with that situation.
Right.
Even so, that's not the real goal, though. The real goal of not judging is so that you can experience freedom and the power of your mind right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to be in a tough situation or having something horrible going on, and you're able to let the judging go, because you don't respect it, and I know you don't. It's a habit for a lot of us that the judgments come in, but it sounds like you did a good cycle there. When you learn to put the judgment aside, your mind opens a little bit, and something very interesting happens. If you're able to stay in that non-judgmental witnessing of the situation,
mm-hmm.
one that's not jumping to conclusions, something very interesting happens in your heart. A little compassion might enter, either for yourself for having done something by mistake, or for somebody else who's done something by mistake. A little compassion enters, and now you're available to be the person that you want to be in that situation. Good, good, good. Anybody else have a dying example of the two selves showing up in your lives?
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Right. So when I was listening to this, you can't turn down, you can't regulate the judgments. And we can't put it over here while we're not judging. My understanding is we can only have one thought at a time. So we can't be doing both, like holding this down over here and then being not judgmental. I have to, in my mind, be 100% convicted to not judging for that moment, and that can change. But at some point, doesn't that judging eventually not come up to habitual thinking that I'm not being controlled by judging, that I'm here and present, and in the present moment I'm not judging?
Exactly.
I'm trying to compare the things. Okay.
It's very important to realize that the answer to your question is yes. There's a time that comes in your awareness and your awakening where the judgment is not the first thing that comes to mind. It does happen. I have to remind people who are, start taking Course in Miracles seriously, and they are working on forgiveness and the miracle, and they say, God, it's hard, though, because, you know, my fear or my judgment pops up. Will it ever get easier? I've had this question many times. And absolutely, people, there's enough people here who've been through this, been around this thing, who can testify to you. Yes, it gets easier. Oh, thank God. And before it gets easier, the time between the super painful judgment and then the relaxation about reality happen, that time gets shorter and shorter. As you remember to call on your Holy Spirit to help you look at the situation, shorter and shorter. And then eventually, when anything happens to you, as your awakening is more present, more in the foreground, anything happens to you, immediately you don't get rocked out of peace. Even though visually it looks so bad to the ego, you don't get rocked out of your peace. I like to say to people, my peace is not for sale. Not even for this car crash. Not even for this dear friend who has cancer. My peace isn't for sale. I'm going to go handle that situation in peace. And that's my default now. So you bet. You bet. That certainly happens. This stuff works. Mm-hmm. Continuing to train your mind to not be afraid, to actually have trust in something bigger that's present even in your little dream. Works. It works. You know why? Because it starves out the ego. The ego only knows what it doesn't want. That's a quote from page 360. The ego knows only what it doesn't want. It's actually 366. That's what the ego knows. And so if you're listening to the ego, it's going to make decisions based on what it doesn't want. That's how you know it's the ego. But that means you can be all sorts of, you know, excluding in your life and a bunch of worrying in your life if you're listening to the ego.
So, Andrew, I would like to talk about something, could I?
Yes, please.
After the class last week, that evening and the next day, I had a traumatic experience a long time ago, so I know what it's like to feel shock after a traumatic experience. So I felt like I was in shell shock, and because I got something about, so the next day I was just felt in shock, and so I allowed myself to kind of curl up in a fetal. I fell asleep, and I had a powerful dream that I was crying unconsolably about losing, that this person next to me was going away, and the person next to me was me. It was actually Jackie, who I was in, that's how I would word it, Jackie instead of Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. And it was actually Jackie grieving the loss of Jackie, because we had talked about, you know, this is not what's real, right?
Yes.
So it was just this awareness that Jackie was going to really have this incredible grief about losing Jackie. And then, you know, I've been kind of irritable and grumpy, you know, since then. And so I've just been saying, I only want God. That's what came to me. Whenever I sort of feel a little grumpy or, you know, I said, I only want God. So I feel it was a really good experience.
Yes.
And I'm grateful to be able to share this with others who can give me insight and some guidance, because nobody else would probably understand. But I just kind of got such a whammy upside the ego or the personality in our class last week.
Wonderful.
And awareness. So
that's great. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
Anything you could say?
What's your, it's an important passage, but I think we all have to go through it. And it happens very quickly for some, and for others it takes a long time. But you had a little funeral for Jackie right there.
Yeah.
Because you recognized that Jackie is not the bringer of happiness and the peace and the love, the long-term love that you always wanted. It's not coming from Jackie. Jacqueline is still there to carry the light. And so you chose Jacqueline. And I think it's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And don't worry, you don't have to do that. That instant you went through, it's done. You never have to revisit that. Jackie has been demoted now to the dream that she always was. Congratulations. It's very good.
That brought up for me, Jacqueline, what happened for me during Andrew having us do a meditation. And I was thinking, what I know about how I feel when I'm under the influence of my larger self is I feel a sense of freedom because I don't have to make the decisions for what's right and wrong. And if I just listen to that voice and do what the voice tells me, then I feel free. And it's kind of, so what you just said kind of reminded me of that. And I appreciate your bringing that up. Thank you.
Good. Hey, Julie, welcome. Julie, we're talking about two selves. Obviously, the characters are the ego and your true spiritual self. And we're making a distinction between the two. Good, good.
Thank you.
Okay, if anybody else has another example of the two selves that have popped up in your life and you've seen the contrast, now's your time to jump in. Okay, let's see what Course in Miracles has to say about this. Turn to page 471 if you're not already there. This is right where we were last week, Julie. Kenny just read for us beautifully, I might add, paragraph 2. Thank you, Kenny. Okay, let's continue now. Deborah, Donna's next. Donna, if you're ready, would you read for us paragraph 3?
Okay, paragraph 3. Illusions carry only guilt and suffering, sickness and death to their believers. The form in which they are accepted is irrelevant. No form of misery in reason's eyes can be confused with joy. Joy is eternal. You can be sure indeed that any seeming happiness that does not last is really fear.
Okay, this is where we got hung up last week, only because it's so fantastic of a discussion. But I want Jacqueline to recognize that what she went through is a recognition of what has potential for eternal. Jacqueline, whatever you really are, seeking peace and truth and understanding, that is eternal. Jackie, who kind of came and went and had some smart ideas that failed and then some more good ones that lasted for a while and then those failed too, you recognize that you can be sure indeed that any seeming happiness that does not last, it's actually fear. Well, we spent all last week on that, so I won't belabor the point because we have so much more to cover. But doesn't this help make the distinction between the two selves? And how you can know which self you're listening to. If you've got a small solution that's particular to that situation that could come and go, you're listening to ego. On the other hand, if you have a glimpse of understanding, dare I say compassion, about this difficult person or thing in your life, even if it's cancer or loss of financial or whatever, if you have some understanding of the big picture of it, that is your higher self. It is not an illusion. It's a reckoning of what's actually going on.
Here. Andrew, could I say something?
Yes, please.
The trouble I have with this passage is that what we're talking about is that we're not yet at the station of being able to maintain the higher self, the big S self. And so I feel like when we're in that state and are feeling happiness, that to me, that can be a genuine happiness. And falling out doesn't mean that happiness wasn't real. It means we've fallen out of the perspective of that self and fallen back into the ego self, which then wraps it all up with other emotions, fear, anger, whatever.
It's true. You can choose, after being free, to go back into your prison cell and pull the door shut. You can choose to do that.
Well, you just said earlier in this, as we were opening up, that you don't maintain the divine station all the time, but more and more you do now.
Yes.
And that if you catch yourself, there's a choice, you can see what's happening, you can stop and be still a moment and shift.
Yep, and then that cycle goes so short. So short now, it's like a razor's edge line now for me. There isn't a large belaboring or trying or picking out a lesson from the workbook to study so I can get back to peace anymore.
But you've been focused on this for a long, steady, consistent time.
Yep.
And so my only point is that I feel like there can be genuine states of joy and happiness that are real. And just because we fall out of them doesn't mean they weren't real. It means we shifted back into a different perspective. You know, we slip back into the ego perspective.
Yes, and I want to remind you that that happens. And remember, we spent, I don't know how many months, it wasn't weeks, months, on the attraction to guilt.
Mm-hmm. Attraction to guilt?
Yep, it's on page 410. And it's a particularly nasty discussion about the ego there that Jesus has to get on the table on how our condition, our invention of a life in a body, uses guilt so personally that there's an addiction to it. There's an attraction to it as a coin we spend in this realm. So, yes, you may allow yourself some happiness and a solution, but there's this gravity of the ego that until you really do the ego busting that the workbook would have you do, you can get sucked back into the poor me, to the there is no God, to I'm not worthy, to I'm broken, there's something wrong with me, to there's really something wrong with them, and they're not lovable, and never could be, right? Those kind of judgments can pop in your head and dismiss your freedom. It's true. But it's only because you have not had the miracle that releases you. Jackie and Jacqueline had a very serious conversation, and Jackie was demoted. And Jackie was demoted forever. It was not a negotiation. This is also something we talk about as the dark night of the soul. It's this important transition for anybody on a spiritual path where you leave behind the promises of the world, but you don't yet know what the promises of God, how to fulfill them, the promises of love, how to actually be loving all the time. You don't know, but you know you no longer want to be afraid. You know it doesn't buy you anything. You know you don't want anymore the small achievements that may be something like charity would drive you to do. It's like a band-aid when you need stitches. You see? So this section is talking about when you have a substitute happiness, Miley, when you have a problem and you modify the problem so you can be happy with it. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Happy with the problem. Mm-hmm. Luann told us she can actually see through things and choose the love and be free of the problem, but have some understanding around it. This is actually choosing the light. Be careful. If you choose a happiness that does not last and it's focused on the problem, which is what this section is about, it's obviously based on fear. And you will learn. Learn is probably not the right word. What's a better word? When you choose spirit in a situation, and your happiness comes from true compassion and love of that situation, then page, it's 562. Let's go there because everybody should know where this is.
Okay, can you tell me the chapter and the number?
Sure will. Yeah, there's two of you now that need that. So you're going to go to, it's high in the 20s. So it's 20, chapter 20s, it's 26. Chapter 26, section 9, page 562.
Page chapter 26.
Chapter 26 at the end, section 9. Just before section 10, paragraph 6. When this happens, Miley, you have a problem in your life, and you're not replacing the problem with another story about the problem. That's a half measure. It may be happier, though, right? You can live with it now. It's horrible. And it hurts, and it's unfair, but you can live with it. That's actually fear, trying to make you happy. Now, when you do what we're talking about tonight, when you actually call on your higher self, and you actually have a miracle occur where your perception shifts, and that a release occurs, and you get a holy instant of compassion around the problem, mind you, around the problem. This happens. Paragraph 6, 562.
Okay, we're on 26, 9, 6.
You're on that chapter 26, section 9. Yeah, paragraph 6.
Oh, paragraph 6. Okay, thank you.
The holiest of all the spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become, keyword now, a present love. A present with the problem. Do you see how practical you're called on here to apply your Course in Miracles to the problem? That's where miracles occur. It's where they exist. You would apply an awakening of compassion and understanding to your problem. This makes it holy now, because the very thing that would have held you in darkness is the light now, because it's been translated by your Holy Spirit. So it's become holy. The cancer, the divorce, the getting fired from your job, whatever. When seen with the Holy Spirit and with your lesson of the day, that very problem can be translated now to your spiritual awakening. How's that work? Because the problem was making you not spiritual. So by translating the very thing that was holding you down, it becomes the way to leave the bounds of materiality, the suffering of the ego. Right when you needed it the most, it turns out. Pretty handy, huh? So the holiest of all the places on earth is the stinkiest of all places on earth, translated. An ancient hatred becomes a present love. I love it. It's poetic. It summarizes what happens when you choose happiness not based on fear.
Well, I sort of got a chill feeling as you reread that sentence, because I thought about our national situation with the police brutality and all that stuff, and I feel like that's the opportunity there.
Yes.
That's the opportunity for a miracle, if this can come into that situation.
Yes.
And the people who are holding the love rather than going into the polarity and focusing on the problem, and can lift the whole situation up.
Yes. The answer will be with compassion and understanding, not with violence and destruction.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, Andrew.
Yes.
Would you address the tragedy that we had up here in Ben Lomond of the sheriff that died on Saturday?
Yes.
You know about that, right?
I do.
I don't know. It's just really affected a lot of us, and I would love it if you would address that.
Well,
could you tell me briefly what happened?
Yeah, what happened was we had a person, young man, who happens to be active Air Force apparently, and he got himself some weapons and some bomb making materials, and he piled them in a van with a friend. Somebody looked in the window and saw the weapons and called the sheriff. The sheriff responded and rolled up into a violent situation. They turned their guns on the sheriff, killed an officer, and wounded another. And so now Santa Cruz County is dealing with the grief of a downed police officer. He left behind 26 years. I think he had 26 years with the 40. He was only 38 years old. But anyway, he left behind a wife, a bearing child and a child, and we're grieving from the loss of somebody who gave his life to help keep us safe and provide for his family, and he was killed by somebody else who we don't know why this person, where they were going with their bombs or their guns, but they were going to do some more mayhem, and this police officer stopped them but was killed in the line of duty. So, summary: welcome to the world. This is a world of loss. I mean, everything here is an adventure. Like a roller coaster is an adventure where you'll get excited and hopefully you survive. You survive long enough to maybe talk about what a great ride you had. But eventually you will get cancer, or you'll get a heart attack, or you'll get hit by a bus, or if you're an officer carrying a gun, you'll get shot. Or you'll have to shoot somebody else, and you'll have to quit because that just destroyed your opinion of the world. And I just talked to another guy today who's a long time on the sheriff's department, and he got more and more. He served active military for a long time, and then he switched to the sheriff's department. He saw more just terrible ego things, terrible. And it's changed him. It's changed him. And so this is what the world does. And so now all of us here who are not out there trying to keep everybody else safe with a gun, we're less likely to get shot. This guy stood up and he did that for us. And, you know, my heart goes out to the gratitude for all the other police officers, especially the ones that were right there and the ones that knew him, that they'll continue to make this story a better place to live. So my heart, my gratitude goes out to all the ones who are keeping us safe from the other, you know, the rest of the aspect of our ego, which would be complete destruction. There are aspects of our ego that would do complete healing. You're familiar with those. There are aspects of our ego that would do complete destruction, like the guy making bombs to go indiscriminately kill people. But there's the other end of the spectrum in the same dream of people who would just, you know, like there's a food kitchens and also in Ben Lomond, and there are the churches, and there's A Course in Miracles meetings where we're trying to make a difference to heal the division. Welcome to the world. Welcome to the world. Just carry the light.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just carry the light. Don't let your mind go into the darkness on this. Go toward the compassion. Go toward the joining. But carry light with you, not fear. That all things here are eventually leading to your reawakening in love.
And my My spiritual aspiration is to live with love.
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Isadora.
So my spiritual aspiration is to live as love. So how do you see this happening as love?
Well,
is it possible?
It absolutely is. First of all, it's easy to see love on the side of the family who, and all the officers and people who are getting together to try to heal the wound. That's easy, right? I mean, you can donate money and send money to the family and, you know, make yourself feel good and help out. Sure. What about the other side? What about the guy who was, you know, in trouble enough that he's gone to the level of getting guns and bombs to go make a point somewhere? What about that guy? He was, I think, 30 years old or something. And in his mind, the answer to the sleepless nights for him, the way to peace for him was to go make a point that'll be written down in history.
Thank you.
What about that mind? What's that? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's who I'm trying to see his innocence. And yeah, keep going if you can.
You bet. Oh yeah. So this person, and it doesn't matter the reason, and there's a long list of reasons, it turns out, even derangement. But this aspect of the separated mind is not being heard, not feeling love, not feeling purpose, not feeling cared for, feeling rejected, any of these things. We've all been there, but some of us go really far. And this particular one, it's gone so far for so long that his ego, his substitute illusion was get more guns and bombs and go make a point that'll be in the newspaper. He thought, if I do this, I'll be happier. Right? You have to put yourself in his shoes, says Adora. Would you blame yourself for doing this? For saying, God, the only way to get people to listen is if I go out and bomb something. We still don't know what it was. Okay, maybe his best friends were black in the military. He's like, damn it, if another black person gets killed, I can't take it anymore. Nobody seems to care. He's going to get his guns and his bombs, and he's going to go bomb the white police force in Santa Cruz. Maybe that's what he was going to do. Desperately. Maybe he was going to go to an ex-girlfriend's house and blow it up because she refused to see him anymore. And he thought, that's just not fair that life would do this after all I've tried to do, and she hates me. I can't take it anymore. I can't live in a world where she doesn't love me. I'm going to go blow her up. I can't. If I can't have her, nobody can. Do you see the call for love there? If I can't have her, nobody can. You have to put yourself in his deranged shoes. I'll say deranged. Nobody wants that. And see his call for love, and that's innocent. All of us are looking for the same thing in this life. Thank God. Now we can understand everybody. We're all looking for happiness.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
It's the same thing as the police just unleashing their anger at peaceful protesters, you know, or I mean, the way they just killed, you know, the way they have killed many people and get away with it. And it's a whole culture thing. But I agree with what you're saying. It's two sides of the same shoe. And for me, it always means the person's in fear.
Yes.
That's the underlying thing, whether, you know, the actor, the outside is hatred because those kind of tough guys have no tolerance for fear, to feel fear, and so they cover it with anger, and the bigger the fear, the more outrageous the actions.
Yeah, they don't have tools. That's yeah. Correct. They only can listen to their ego's guidance. And we know the ego's guidance is I only know for sure what I do not want. And so I will pursue making sure I don't end up with what I don't want. It doesn't know what it does want. It doesn't know which way to go to actually be happy, but it knows, it thinks it knows how to get out of worse pain. But you see, it's a substitute. It's disillusionment from an illusion, not going to the truth. That's paragraph one of our reading tonight. Very, very important distinction. It would take a miracle for you to switch out of disillusionment to the truth. It's no miracle needed to go from illusion to disillusionment. You don't need a miracle for that. Just listen to your ego, some logic, maybe get some advice from a good friend. They'll tell you how to make your problems less of a problem, but it's still dealing with the problem. Do you see?
Andrew?
Yes, yes.
We're just reading this, your brother's sinlessness was what we were just reading.
Yes.
And so if this is all an illusion, then we really can't harm one another at all in the illusion. We are eternal. And so we are sinless, no matter how extreme it seems to us. Now, my personality has trouble with, you know, my personality wants to get into it and think, oh, that horrible person. But underneath that, you know, I do remember that I just say, oh, we're sinless. I'm sinless. Everyone, there is no sin, because that's what one of the basic teachings of Course in Miracles. Now, the compassion, I think, helps us bridge to that. Right, understanding and compassion, that everything is a call for love.
Yes.
So beyond that, there is no sin. We are sinless.
That's correct. There is a tolerance in your mind to go to the sinlessness, I hope. I hope you're building up the ability to spend a moment here and there, whether it's meditation or if it's in recognition during a problem of somebody else's innocence. The sinlessness, where there is no sin possible. If this indeed is an illusion, and you've come here purposefully to try separation, but what the book says is true, which is you didn't actually leave oneness, you only think you did. If you can let your mind go there honestly for even a moment, here comes the lightning bolts. Or here comes a moment of peace, for crying out loud. Thank you, Jackie. Jacqueline, I can't call you Jackie. That was Jacqueline for sure.
Is it appropriate for a moment to ask a question about my personal life in regards to this conversation?
Sure.
Because I had to help my daughter leave a difficult, abusive situation, come to Maui. It was like I was over helping. It was like I wasn't just being a helper. I was giving too much. And last time I came in 2 weeks ago, I expressed I had this anger going on. And then about 2 days ago, I had this overwhelming sense of peace and went, we did it. It's shifted. She's in herself. She's on her feet. She's making decisions. She's not pulling on me. And it was like, I just want to stay here, because this feels like the truth, that she is a divine being who's got managing some difficult things, but managing them well, and loving her children. And I thought, I'm going to just stay here forever. You know,
I have an exercise for you.
Thing is the goal.
I have an exercise for you.
And then I would watch, and it was like I would have contractions like no, there wasn't a reason to be worried, but it was almost like just a nervous system contraction of a habit.
Yes.
As if in like an addiction where you want, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just watched and went, oh, no, that's not the truth, and pushed it aside and came back to this feeling of deep peace and well-being, and we did it. Job well done. Miracle accomplished.
Yes.
Miracle delivered.
Now, you may have some vacillations on your resolve about this situation. In other words, things will pop up to make you wonder if it really worked and you're ready for peacefulness, etc. But regardless, because of the difficulty you had in your, you know, mother, you know, being mom too much on the way through, I've got an exercise for you if you'll take it.
And yeah, that please. Is,
in your mind, in a meditation, go back through the steps over these last several, I don't know, months or years, whatever it took to help to have her get out of that situation. You showed up the first time, when you moved in eventually, when you took her by the hand and let her out, whatever happened, each of these things.
Yeah.
In your mind, go back to those situations and replay them. Replay them as instead of Miley kind of panicking her way into it and worried about her daughter, go back as Miley, the confident mother that knows that she is a divine being and fully capable of taking care of bringing joy to herself and her children and doing the right thing and being safe. Even back then, when she was afraid and you were afraid. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, so
the reason why this is important is because you need to forgive Miley, who was panicking. Let her go. And you're going to reinstall the Miley you have today, which is certain that you can trust the big picture, and she is a divine being loaded with power.
Thank you, Randrew.
You're welcome.
All right. Can I respond one moment?
Sure.
Because the 5 years ago was when she was pregnant with the first child, and I had a friend who was a nurse in the Sutter hospital system, and she said, Miley, prenatal psychosis is a real thing. And I was concerned. I came close because I was concerned for her mental health. I also had guilt about a time when I wasn't present for her in her development and blaming myself. I also had two or three friends who had children who were not pregnant, but they were psychotic and going in and out of psych wards. So it was a real concern. And when I came close, I was doing just what you're talking about in terms of being, I had the East Wing. I would wake up every morning and just work on being present as I watched the sunrise, the dawn. And that's when I came to A Course of Miracles, because I'd been doing it for about a month, and I went, I need some bolster. I need to be in a group of spiritually striving people just to give me some support.
Let me remind you of something else that just occurred to me while you're describing that. When you look at her in her neonatal psychosis, and other people have examples here of people who are mentally challenged in their lives, when you are dealing with these people who have, just like this shooter, for crying out loud, that we're dealing with also, they left reason behind for a little while for whatever reason. But you care. You are the one now. You're the crutch while they're healing, or if they need to lean on something, you're there with your love supplying it where it's needed. So you are the one, in Miracle Principle 8 tells us, you temporarily have more for somebody who temporarily has less. Right. This is a call for you to love, and it's a huge honor. Treat it that way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I will do that exercise in detail.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that exercise. Well. Get into some detail, and you can heal your mind around the darn thing. Remember, this is all a dream. Yeah. You can dream that now from whole.
So when I rewrite the situation, I replay it. Okay, I replay it, keeping myself in the confident, loving, present space, not buying into the fear.
That a girl. That's your exercise.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. I'm just saying that's what I'm hearing. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Thank you. Thank you. Fabulous. Good. Fabulous.
You could avoid years of overthinking this if you do this exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. No, wonderful. Thank you.
Good, 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 good. Okay. Back to page 471.
Okay, sorry, can you give me I didn't write it.
Chapter 22, section 2, your brother's sinlessness. And I think I interrupted who was reading? Is that you, Jacqueline?
No, I was reading Andrew, but...
Oh, Donna, would you continue reading for us? I interrupted her right after this juicy sentence. You can be sure indeed that any seeming happiness that does not last is really fear. We'll come back to this again some other day, I'm sure. It's too much fun there. Okay, please continue, Donna.
Joy does not turn to sorrow, for eternal cannot change. But sorrow can be turned to joy, for time gives way to the eternal.
Beautiful. Read that sentence again just so we can savor it.
Okay, well, maybe it's a whole starts with joy. Joy does not turn to sorrow, for the eternal cannot change. But sorrow can be turned to joy, for time gives way to the eternal.
How many times in your lives has your sorrow eventually come around to understanding and even joy? Wow. Wow. Okay, please continue.
Only the timeless must remain unchanged, but everything in time can change with time. Yet if the change be real and not imagined, illusions must give way to truth and not to other dreams that are but equally unreal. This is no difference.
He's repeating paragraph one. Bridget, are you there? I was going to ask. Yep. Bridget, I want you to see if this hits home for you. Because you've had so many animals in your life, right?
Yes.
Think back about the first animal that died in your life. Maybe you're a kid. I don't know. Family cat. Everybody here has got a pet or a human that died a long time ago. Not a fresh one, please. You're going to spoil the mood. a lovely, wonderful, wonderful family pet that died a long time ago. Damn, that was sorrowful. I didn't want that to happen, but feel the joy you feel now. Remembering. You just remember the love, right? What remains from that animal but the love, right?
Yeah, the memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sorrow, and there was sorrow. That sorrow has turned to joy. Now, we're on page 472.
It sure has shifted a lot to see it very differently, spirit, in to go into eternal, you know, the body versus the body and spirit.
And it may have taken a long time, see? With Course in Miracles, we can do these things rapidly. Once you get a handle on your Holy Spirit, you can make these translations very quickly. But it may have taken you from your childhood pet a lot of years to actually recognize the joy in that death. Oh my God, can you even say that sentence with it? No. Joy yeah. cannot turn to sorrow, but now you can. Yeah. The eternal cannot change. Sorrow can be turned to joy. In fact, I'd be willing to edit the book right now and say all sorrow eventually turns to joy. You do not feel sorrow unless you felt love. I have some sorrow over a pet of mine that died, but you guys don't really care. I mean, I think you care generally, you know, but you don't really feel the sorrow. You didn't love my dog, Chica. You know, I loved her. So, all sorrow is based on love. It's all based on love. Everything is based on love. Therefore, it all turns to joy. With Course in Miracles, we can do it much quicker. Way better way to live, folks. Get this translation going quicker with your Holy Spirit, and life becomes fun. Okay, let's go for paragraph 4, and that puts Deborah.
Boink. Okay, reason will tell you that the only way to escape from misery is to recognize it and go the other way. Truth is the same, and misery the same, but they are different from each other in every way, in every instance, and without exception. To believe that one exception can exist is to confuse what is the same with what is different. One illusion cherished and defended against the truth makes all truth meaningless and all illusions real. I'd like to read that again.
Oh, yes, please.
One illusion cherished and defended against the truth makes all truth meaningless and all illusions real.
That means it's an all or nothing proposition. When your enlightenment fully comes, it's because your vision, which we'll get to next week, but it's in this section. Let me introduce the idea of vision here. When your awareness awakens, your mind, your spiritual eye does seeing. And you can understand, not try to understand, but know, keyword, know, that all things come from love. Everything. Absolutely. It's not that you're trying to understand this. It's that you now recognize love everywhere. That all movements of mind, whether it be a slowing down of spirit into a material form, or a speeding up into what we call love. Regardless, it's all love. It's all based on love. It's all held in love, and it's only understood in love. This is why there can be no exception, because to truly understand means that fear is meaningless, that loss is meaningless. This is the true freedom you seek. So, it makes everything very, very simple. It makes it very, very simple. And it's also, you can be assured that you will know your awakened state as it comes. So, important for you. Okay, please continue.
Such is the power of belief. It cannot compromise. And faith in innocence is faith in sin. If the belief excludes one living thing and holds it out apart from its forgiveness.
Little fine print there, eh? Didn't read the whole contract? Is that your problem, Bunky? You got caught You thought it was okay to hate one little thing and that would prove how good you are? Realize that that thinking destroys all of your truth. Ah! Thought we were making progress! You know, the fact is that if you think that that loss still exists as some kind of truth, that means you don't understand truth. You're still playing with illusion, that's all. The truth is true, so you can't keep the illusion, but it just tells you where you are. Heads up. Okay, Michaeline, would you read for us paragraph 5?
Can I just ask a question?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so I have a number of people in my life that say they hate Trump, for instance. And I
keep saying, hate what?
Pardon?
You hit people in your life who hate what?
The president.
Oh, the president, yeah.
And what I say back is, you know, I don't like a lot of things that he does, but I don't hate him because he started off innocent like the rest of us, and I don't know how he got to be the way he is. But on the other hand, is not liking what he does the same as hating?
You can answer that only by your experience of it. If you don't like lemon cream ice cream, it's not the same as hating it. You see? So watch your mind. But if you think it's evil, if you think that that's disgusting and intentionally harmful, the ego's got you. So you can answer which voice you're listening to. It's not a sin to prefer not lemon cream ice cream over chocolate. That's not the judgment we're talking about, is it? So, you know, you are an extension of God with individual characteristics. So you're going to have differences, but all the differences are the same. Hope that helped. Did it help?
I missed one of your words, and I think it was the crucial one for me. I heard it the first time around, and I completely forgot it now. So it was it intently? It was when you said, you gave three ways of not liking, and the first two didn't mean anything to me much, but the last one did. And the last one was something about sound. It felt like it was on purpose harmful.
Correct. Yes. If you're making a judgment and the resolution of the judgment is that whatever you're witnessing is evil, purposely harmful, the ego's got you. However, if you're just making a preference in your idea of what's most loving, like it's for me, it's most loving for me to have chocolate. This is good. I can handle the vanilla. It's okay. Chocolate works for me. It's not that I hate vanilla, but my individuation likes the chocolate. There's no evil involved here, right? But if you think that the president is actually purposely evil and an incarnation of the devil doing permanent harm somewhere, you're all egoed up. You are egoed up. And that would be hatred and blocking love. But your understanding, when you started out, you say you understood innocence. So, I got it, Michaeline, thank you. So understanding innocence, even now, not just when he was a child, Luann. Innocence now, as the current president making the next wild tweet that he is going to make. You must see that innocence too.
Well, first of all, I never think in terms of evil. Because I or devil or any of that stuff, because I wasn't brought up in a church or any religion. So purposely harmful.
Yep. Watch it.
I really have to think about that one because I don't know if that's how I think of it.
I understand. Good thing. Good to point that out. We have just enough time for Julie to read paragraph 5.
Don't forget Michaeline.
She left.
Oh, that's what she was trying to say. Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Luann.
Okay, paragraph 5. Both reason and the ego will tell you this, but what they make of it is not the same. The ego will assure you now that it is impossible for you to see no guilt in anyone. And if this seeing is the only means by which escape from guilt can be attained, then the belief in sin must be eternal.
Oh, this is too sad. It's too sad. Look at him calling out what happens in the world and in your own past. Julie, read that sentence again so we can see how stark this is.
Sentence 3.
Yes.
And if this seeing is the only means by which escape from guilt can be attained, then the belief in sin must be eternal.
You will have a self-fulfilling prophecy with your attraction to guilt itself. And so, the fear will remain, the loss will remain, the judgment will be held intact, and you've got an enemy for life. And so, sin must be eternal as long as you think something out there can take your happiness or prevent it. That would be, and it brings substitute illusion, just another nightmare. Please continue.
Yet reason looks on this another way, for reason sees the source of an idea as what will make it either true or false.
Beautiful.
This must be so, if the idea is like its source. Therefore, says reason, if escape from guilt was given to the Holy Spirit as his purpose, and by one to whom nothing he wills can be impossible, the means for its attainment are more than possible. They must be there, and you must have them.
Woo! You are plugged in. You are connected to a healing understanding. The same problem that confronts you, there is a healing understanding of the problem. This is what a miracle is. A translation of what you thought was, say, you know, loss for sure, or evil, or an unforgivable mistake. There's a way to look at that with the Holy Spirit that would actually not just bring ease to your mind, not just make things better, but heal your mind from the very stress that your mind put on yourself. From the judgment, from the belief in loss, from the thought that over-mothering was too much, for example, or the thought that you were such a fool doing what you did and it worked out wrong. These are beliefs of the ego that would haunt you for a long time, unless you allow your Holy Spirit to translate them. So we've just about run out of time, but there's still 2 minutes. Let's grab them. Okay, Miley, you want to read for us paragraph 6?
This is a crucial period in this course.
Okay, we're out of time. Sorry. We've got to end the meeting. No, let's keep going. This is a crucial period in the course, and we're going to end the meeting. No, keep going.
This is a crucial period in this course. For here, the separation of you and the ego must be made complete. For if you have the means to let the Holy Spirit's purpose be accomplished, they can be used. And through their use will you gain faith in them. I'm not understanding. I have to stop for a moment because here the separation of you and the ego must be made complete. Because if you have the means to let the Holy Spirit's purpose be accomplished, they can be used. What they is that referring to?
The means. The circumstance.
Okay, so if you have the means to let the Holy Purpose, they can be used.
Yeah.
Thank you. And through their use, will you
gain... Now, this means the cancer, the money problem, the divorce, whatever stinky thing is going on in your life can be used. Please continue.
Okay. Good clarification. And through their use, will you gain faith in them?
As saviors instead of sinners, instead of lost.
And blocked. As a solution. Okay. Opportunities, huh?
The opportunity, yeah.
Okay. Yet to the ego, this must be impossible. And no one undertakes to do what holds no hope of ever being done.
Yeah, how could you have happiness come out of this disaster thing in your life? It was so unfair that they said that to you or did that to you. Or that life did this to you. So unfair. How could there be love there? How could there be... Yeah. Ego says it's impossible. Please continue.
You know what your creator wills is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But what you made believes it is not so.
Mm-hmm.
Now must you choose between yourself and an illusion of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not both, but one.
Mm-hmm.
There is no point in trying to avoid this one decision. It must be made. Faith and belief can fall to either side, but reason tells you misery lies only on one side and joy upon the other.
Two selves. Two selves.
Wow, what a great place to end.
Yes, thank you, Miley. Two selves.
Thank you.
Yes, and you must. We're going to pick up with this very paragraph next week so that we can finish this wonderful section. So keep your bookmarker on that, and we'll do it again next week. We're right where we needed to start today. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
You're so welcome. Thanks for joining.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for all bringing your stories up and asking your questions and making it all real. Everybody has the same questions. Good night, Judy.
Okay, here's the sunset on Maui.